Hi, welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we've got friend of the show, Arnold Alderman, back. He's an industry analyst and pundit and with a lot of things to talk about, and I'm curious what we're talking about today, Arnold. What's the topic?
Well, the topic today, Alex, is wireless chargers, and the big question is, are we taking a step backwards with wireless chargers?
Well, that's an interesting way to put it. I would think of wireless charging as a advanced technology, granted, invented a while back, but more of a advanced interface as opposed to a less sophisticated wired interface. Isn't wireless charging like a cool app?
Well, it is. There are some benefits to wireless charging. First of all, is convenience. That's the big thing. There are no connections to be made. All you do is place your mobile phone on the table, and the charger magnetically couples to your phone and charges it.
Mm-hmm.
The other claim is it's safer, but of course the voltage for chargers is very low, so even if you have to touch the connector, you wouldn't. The voltage is so low, it wouldn't hurt you. But anyway, those are the two main benefits.
Mm-hmm. And safety is a good benefit. You could put the transmission unit underneath a sterile and/or waterproof and/or shockproof. You know, you pick your environment that you're trying to protect it from. And that makes things a lot easier. But so why would you say that wireless technology is going backwards?
Well, what we're talking about here is the fact that I've been involved with government agencies both in the U.S. and globally in an effort to improve the efficiency of external power supplies and battery chargers since 2003. When we started this effort, under the direction of the California Energy Commission, the majority of the products had efficiencies in the area of 50% or below. In other words, the charger or the external power supply was
It was probably a old linear piece with a huge transformer.
Well, yeah, they were. They were all linear because to have a switching power supply was going to be more expensive.
Mm-hmm,
however, mm-hmm. We worked on these efficiencies and with the government agencies, and by 2010, the efficiencies of these devices had reached 90%.
Or more.
Yeah.
I get where you're coming from. The efficiencies of the systems aren't necessarily worthy of the convenience that you're getting out of it.
Well, the thing we're talking about advancement and efficiency, and the fact that people are conscious of efficiency and how it's improved in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you'd say, "Well, why is the efficiency a big deal?" Because these power supplies don't mount to much—maybe 2, 3, maybe 5 watts. But the fact is that adds up. Very fast.
Very fast.
In 2004, the equipment sold requiring EPS and battery chargers had reached over 250 million units per year. And if the average power is 5 watts, that's over a megawatt of power. Today, that unit count is probably in double what it was in 2004, and that's
mm-hmm.
2 megawatts of power. That's a lot of power.
That's a lot of power. So, in other words, going from a 90% plus solution to a, wireless efficiencies range in the 30 to so range, what would you say the range of a wireless system would currently be?
Well, it's going to vary depending upon how you approach the design, but what I've seen so far has been in the area of 25 to 30% efficient, and some people are claiming higher in the area of 85%. However, I'm not sure exactly how that's measured. So what we have here is a situation where the charger efficiency is suddenly dropping from 90%, which with a direct connected charger, they will achieve that efficiency. It's dropping to 30% for a wireless charger. So to me, that seems to be going backwards, not forwards.
Well,
that's a tremendous penalty to pay for convenience.
Well, and that's a very good point, Arnold, because if you talk about that, that's almost like you're burning your furniture every year to, you know, heat the house, as it were. You waste so much energy in saving the effort. You're literally paying for it.
Well, that's a that's an interesting analogy. But this efficiency has dropped when you have a wireless charger because the major component contributing to that loss is the transformer, the magnetic coupling. And if you look at transformers, the distance between primary and secondary windings are in the thousandths of an inch. They're less than 10 thousandths of an inch. And if you have wireless chargers with distances between windings of 10 to 100 times larger than that, then you're going to have tremendous drop-off in coupling, and that in turn means lower efficiency.
Right. Well, what about these claims of various resonant frequency technologies or ways to increase the distance by improving the coupling in some way? Do you take any credence in the claims? Because they're quite, as you say, some of them are quite lofty.
Well, there's been excellent experimental work going on with regards to improving that efficiency. However, the coupling, although it improves, doesn't get nearly close to 50% because of the distance that is still there. But we've got some fine engineers and some companies with a lot of resources that are working on these chargers. So we're going to see improvement, and that improvement is going to I think help the situation. However, we're not there yet, and I'm a little concerned when it comes to what companies are saying about the wireless charger efficiency.
What are the companies saying?
I went on the Wireless Power Consortium website, and surprisingly, I found their comments to be less than straightforward. And I mentioned this in my talk at APEC in March of this year, the fact that efficiency curves were depicted in logarithmic scale. And if you look at the logarithmic curves, it looks pretty good. The top 10% of the scale is where they say reasonably good efficiency is. However, if you make that a linear scale, it's halfway down the curve. So we're talking about 50% efficiency, and they're trying to depict it as 90% efficiency, although they don't say that. And if you look at the curve, it's really 50%, but it looks like 90%, and I'm concerned about that.
Well, I could make the argument that it's like a company selling speakers. You can post the maximum sound pressure level, or you could post the RMS sound pressure, or you can post all, you know, without a good set of standards, it's very easy to pick your own parameters for expression, if you know what I mean. So they may not necessarily be trying to fudge things. They may just simply be expressing it in the technology and terminology that they've been used to in the research phase of it, and now have to think about expressing it in ways for the industry to better understand.
Well, that's very that's most likely. I looked at one of their white papers on wireless charging. They were talking about the power loss figure of merit, and in that paper, they came up with a figure of merit called lambda, which is P loss over mm-hmm. P out. Okay, well, they say that anything below 0.8 is low loss. Well, let's just take a look at that a minute. A lambda of 1 is P loss equals P out. That's 50% efficient.
That's a good point. That is a very good point.
So, therefore, 0.8 probably is around 55% efficiency. So, they're using a figure of merit, which distorts the picture.
Well, but they also could depend upon what they consider their definition of low loss. To them, anything over 50% efficiency would, you know, since it's more than half efficient, it's by older, especially as you pointed out, it was commonplace for older devices to be relatively inefficient. So 50% is a good arbitrary place to put a line, especially for a technology in a development phase.
Well, you would say so if there was no alternative. There is an alternative.
Plug it in.
Yeah, and so there's work going on to modify the wireless charger to just make contact. You set it on a couple contacts sitting in the table, and it charges by contact, and you've raised the efficiency back up to 90%.
That's been tried so many times. MobileWise had that charging mat technology with intelligent contacts that you could just lay anything that had terminals on it, and it would query the load and charge it. But then you get into the hassle of creating the engineered surface or having a pad that you'd have to buy in a store. The interface, I think, has always been awkward with that type of a situation with the direct contacts.
Well, that's true, and it will continue to be an issue unless they standardize, which, you know, they've standardized computer connections and you know, and that sort of thing. So it could be standardized. As a matter of fact, they have to standardize wireless so that the interface, even though it's not touching, the coupled interface is appropriate to proper operation. So they even have some standardization they have to do there.
Well, I think there'll be more standardization coming, especially as the technology matures and the market develops itself more in a more defined and granular manner. The various application spaces will demand specialty performance and functionality to ensure that their niche space is addressed, be it automotive, you know, dashboard charging to medical equipment bench charging.
Yes, and of course, this wireless charging has a tremendous application in medical systems that will be within the body, like perhaps a pacemaker in the head or pacemaker in the heart. You could
blood glucose internal.
Wirelessly. Yeah.
Right, something for internal blood glucose management, or even nowadays they're doing it for Parkinson's and epilepsy and other neuromuscular stimulation and such. All of those devices need power. And I would say medical would be an arguable space where, okay, we'll take 50% efficiency to save my grandma's life.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no other way to do it.
No other way. Well,
wireless will be very successful there. They just have to pick their applications where there's not a competitive situation at 90% that is available. So there has to be some integrity on the part of the engineers and to say that we're going to pick the applications where this is the only way it can be done. And although it's lower efficiency, we can do the job, and that's a big step forward.
I agree there, Arnold. I do. Wireless isn't going anywhere. It'll go into the applications that are best suited for it. And frankly, there might even be vanity apps that are completely useless but are really cool expressions of technology that may trickle out as well.
Yeah. So, you know, my attitude is on this. We're at early stage, and efficiency is is really a problem. However, more will be revealed. I think the first major step will be to have an open dialogue on this technology and the impact on power consumption, and perhaps that will kind of modify the path at which wireless charging takes in the coming years.
And speaking of coming years, this would actually be a good topic for, not, I've already got this year's topic coming up on Smart Grid, but this would be a great topic to bring up in a wrap session or a seminar at APEC, because it really is an important space in the power and industry, and I think the more we talk about it amongst ourselves, the less we'll have to listen to other people from outside our space dictate how we're going to deploy it.
That's a great idea, Alex.
Excellent. You have any last thoughts for our audience before we close out the episode?
Well, I challenge the industry to look at this closely, put down data that does not distort the situation, but tells the truth. It gives the audience an accurate picture of efficiency, and then I hope they'll work together to bring wireless charging to a very high standard.
Excellent. Well, hey, Arnold, thank you again. Until next time, I appreciate you coming by for this visit.
Well, it's my pleasure, Alex.
Thanks. And I'd like to thank everybody out there in the audience. We couldn't do this without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Paul for Pault on Power. Have a great day.